Hari
Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastamavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, page 29 Natvam vidata na ima janan jan jajanan yad yushmakam antaram bhavuva niharena pravrita jalpya kashu tripta utka shashas charanti. You do not know the person who produced these creatures, the person who dwells within you, surrounded by ignorance, engaged in material logic, uttering mantras to maintain themselves. The priests carry out their actions. Rigveda 10.83.7. So right in the Veda itself, it's mentioning about the Brahmins who get distracted by the secondary aspects. Because the point is, you're performing these secondary aspects, and they're going to be very useful to express whatever it is you want to towards the primary. But the difficulty is, because the secondary is what produces the result, right, which is still secondary, right? So that result, then, desirous of that, then we put too much focus on the secondary, right? Instead of, it's the quality of the performance in the way of the attitude, right? And the desire to please that is actually the primary element. So then we see here is that without remembering the Lord, without knowing how he's inside, he's outside, without all this, then the priests, then they carry out their actions, chanting their mantras and everything, but totally forgetful of the Lord. So that's standard. So what you can say is the Brahmins are the highest grade, you could say, of living entity that's forgetting the Lord. Right? So it says, yes.
Can we say that secondary may produce primary if the attitude is correct?
It's always a support. But see, when it's in connection with the Lord, then it's non-different, so we don't make such a distinction. But the point is when we're dealing with material, then the distinction is very obvious. Right? So, when it's connected to the Lord, you don't make a distinction because both become spiritual. Right? But if it's not connected to the Lord, then both are material. So in this way, you can also not make a distinction. But if you're trying to switch from material to spiritual, then you have to make the distinction. Does that make sense? Just like this, you know, for the question. Mother Jashoda, then she has affection for Krishna and the parental rasa, right? That's the primary. Secondary, she cooks for Krishna. You understand? So the cooking itself will create a preparation. But because it's done in devotion, it produces a devotional preparation. Does that make sense? Yeah, that's the... Okay. Therefore, it is said, Sarvatra shakyate kartum agamam hi vina numa tasman na sa shakti mati vina gamam udikshitum. In all cases, scripture can be used without anuman. Without scripture, anuman cannot be given regard, Varaha Purana. So, just the scripture said it, you can accept it. Whether you fully understand how it works or not, that you have faith in it, that's actually proper. Right? And that, then, if you want to apply anuman onto that, which is the natural thing, that's manana, right? The contemplation. Then you bring it to the point where you can actually see the point made in the Shastra. You can actually appreciate that. But anuman on its own, without shabda, without shastra, is not glorious. It's just mental speculation. And its basis will be that of sense gratification.
Can we say that its basis will be pratyaksha?
Its basis will be pratyaksha, but the point of pratyaksha, because it's the senses, is sensual. So the perception is from the senses, the process is with the senses, the goal is for the senses. So it doesn't get beyond that. That's why we say pranamoya is only extended sense gratification. In other words, if it's sense gratification, it doesn't sound good. Right? You know, it's like, I want to enjoy this. And so if I just say, it's like this. I say, you guys are getting in the way of me enjoying this. This is not nice. You know, this is not proper. This is not good. How seriously would we take that? Now, if I say, listen, if all of us cooperate together and follow these particular, formulas, then all of us can enjoy much more than what we're enjoying now. If we all cooperate together, then, on all that fraternity, liberty, equity, all this kind of stuff, then we are going to enjoy so much more. I've said exactly the same thing. All I've done is included everybody else. But what's my underlying cause? If I do it myself, I'll get a certain amount. If I do it with everybody, because of the combined effort, I can get more. Right? Does that make sense? So, actually, it's just sense gratification, but it has this veneer of niceness to it. So it takes the moral principles and qualities from Dharma, but it's not for Dharma. It's only for sense gratification. So it sounds great, but it's still just sense gratification. That's the problem with the modern kind of so-called civilized society, is they're better at presenting that it's something so special when it's just the same old thing. Yes.
You said about that, is it, if I follow the rules of God, I'll enjoy even more?
Yes, it means you can bring in the theistic element within the pranamoy. Generally, we take it that it's at the stage of manamoy, that you accept the laws of God. But my consciousness, it's still, I'll enjoy more. It's still down on the level of anamoy. I'm just willing to acknowledge God's existence.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So what is the point that makes it actual manamoy?
What? How do you say? When you're performing your duties because that's what should be done.
It's dharma.
Yeah, that's it. Then you're doing that because you'll get the best, and from that you do good work, you'll naturally get good results. Do bad work, you'll get bad results. Mm-hmm. So that will situate yourself nice, properly in fruit of activity. Now when you see that doing that is because you have to use, in other words, through action, I get results. So if I want liberation, it still has to be through action. Mm-hmm. But the action, instead of being with attachment, will be with detachment.
Okay.
So instead of sakama, it'll be nishkama. So if it's sakama, I'll get the heavenly planets. If it's nishkama, I'll get liberation.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If it's I'm performing, if it's nishkam with the desire to please Krishna's senses instead of my own, that gives it bhakti. So it combines both of those. So
yes.
Yeah.
Inherent in manamoy, there's some tinge of nashkami that is for the duty?
It has to be some tinge, otherwise how do you... If at the present you're not working without desire for result, you're just focusing on what is the result. And, in other words, you're trying to connect the result that is starting to manifest with the result that you want. If the two are the same, then the process you're following is correct. If the process you're following is giving a result that's different than the one you expect, that either means you don't have enough knowledge and don't know that the activity I'm doing is wrong, or it's a matter of there's some fault in the activity because the field is different than you expect, or it's changing, it's transforming. So you have to adjust the work to match. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say I want the potatoes cooked, right? So then I put them in the oven, right? And then, you know, as is, how you say, par for the course, the current goes off. Okay? So now, what do I do? Right? Like, you know, run upstairs, you know, get the little hamster and the wheel in there, and then stick it there, and then plug it into the thing. You know, maybe it'll work, but, you know, it's like that. I could sit around and wait for the current to come back on, or I could take them out of the oven and put them in a pan and do something there, or, you know, so many other things I could do. Does that make sense? So the point is if it's a matter of just getting cooked, if it's certain, then I have to figure out something else. Okay, I'm in an area where there is no generator, but I have a friend who they're in where there is the generator, so if I take it over and put it in their oven, that, you know what I'm saying? That's the whole point, because sitting in your own, it won't work. Does that make sense? So you have to make adjustments. So that's the idea. So there has to be a detachment. Because if you're attached, then as soon as it goes, oh no, this, that, and then, you know, you get all frustrated. But if you're not attached, then you just think, well, what should I do now? Mm-hmm. And then you'll do it and then get the result. Mm-hmm. Now, once you get the result, then the attachment might come up. Yes. You know? So that'll be a problem, but, you know, at least you got the work done. Mm-hmm. So that's why we see it doesn't make sense, since how is these materially successful people, on one hand, they're so expert in applying because of the qualifications they have. At the same time, they're such gross materialists. Right? So, because when they're performing the action, they're performing it on the proper platform of detachment. But as soon as they get the results, then all the bad qualities come up. Does that make sense? Yes, because otherwise it's they're all bad or they're all good or, you know, like this. So it's you have to distinguish what's working and what's not and where it's working.
The platform of detachment that such a person works on, is that within Sankarshan or is that within Pradyumna?
I would say is that it would be within Sankarshan because they know
it's a skill.
It's a skill. And but it also includes the skill includes the proper attitude, so it includes prajumna. Mm-hmm. But it's the prajumna aspect of the right attitude to get the result. But underlying it is the prajumna aspect that they want to enjoy the result. That's why they seem to be one way when they're working and another way when they have results. So it doesn't make sense. You know, is that something? Yeah. So that's the whole point. Unless one's at the present and acting in a detached way with proper knowledge, you know, with the proper understanding and attitude, with the understanding of the goal and all that, you can't be successful. You actually can't get something. Right? So that's not, it's, you know, they put it on, oh, if you do this, if you do that, it'll just be magic, you know. Set your goal, then you'll get the results. But you set your goal, but if you don't know how to work, and you don't have knowledge in the attitude, how you'll get it. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
I'm drawing to Kolkata.
Yes. How do you have? You know? Yeah. Do you have a car? No. Do you know where you're going? No. Like that. You know? Do you have money to pay for the car? No. You know, so it's like, it sounds great. So that's the whole point is that the modern concepts, they only deal with the part that's missing. Like, just take it by mentality. Who are the people that work on goal orientation? Right? There'll be people who are very active, you know, do their background study and all that. you know, have an enthusiasm to perform the activity, but they want too much. And so they have 10 things that they want at once and they can't figure out it, so they have to focus it and prioritize it. But the other three are in place.
That's not addressed in the presentation.
That's not addressed because therefore it attracts those people. And then those people who go to that say, no, this is the thing. That's why when they say, oh, it's this or it's that or it's this one, then no, it matches that person. Like if you say systems, if you're not from IIT or MIT, it doesn't mean anything to them. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that's the whole thing is each one of the, and that, how about the one is, you know, how you say the law of attraction, or you can do it, rich dad, poor dad. What's the problem there? Prajumna is weak. Mm-hmm. You may have the knowledge, you may have the skill, you know what it is, but you don't have that drive, that enthusiasm. So therefore, they just, come on, you can do it, get in there.
Very
yeah.
emotional.
Yeah, but if I just take anybody and inspire them emotionally, do they get anywhere? No. They have to have the other three. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And then we take strategic planning. Okay, they have, you know, they have the knowledge, they have the endeavor is there, and the results. Which is the one that's unspoken? The attitude. Because have you ever heard of a military man who doesn't have that drive to get something done? Right? They all have it, you know, take over the world. So they don't even talk about Prajumna, because of course, that they already started training you when you got in the bus, and the first thing when you sat down, the drill sergeant started yelling and screaming at, okay, girls, like that, you know. So for 6 weeks, they just drill into you the attitude. That's all they're doing. Are you learning a skill by taking a toothbrush and cleaning a bathroom? You know, what are you learning? You know, marching in lines that you go along the contour of the building. Is there some, you know, that's how Napoleon won the wars, was they, you know, they, you know. You understand? No, all they're doing is training you in attitude. Once you gain that attitude, so now they can say you're a military man, now they can deal with the other three. Now they can teach you the other three. But they don't even bother with the strategic plan until you have the attitude. You understand?
Yes.
So that's the whole thing is they have one, but you have to have all of them. So people who are successful, they have to have all that. And it has to be done with detachment. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that's the problem. You know, you have the field officer and the administrative officer. Administrative officer says, you should do this. The field officer is there and says, no, it's not like that. The situation has changed. And so the depending upon the attitude, then the administrative, no, you follow my order. Right? Because otherwise, if it changes, what glory does he get? It all goes to the field officer. But if he actually wants success, he has to be detached and says, okay, you're there, you should take the call. But at the same time, if it works, he gets the glory. But if it fails, then he also gets the blame. You understand? But the detachment has to be there. The businessman, when the money's rolling in, he can't pull the money. Right? It's like he started at one point and he's got a goal at another point. He can't pull the money or do a transaction in between. He has to let it get to the point that it's supposed to be. You know, he could pull it out. You know, that's $1 million. But if he waits, that'll be $2 million. So that's the whole point, is that the more they have, the more detached they are. You know, in operation. And once they have the results, then it's depending upon their character whether they have more or less. You know, you've met people who, you know, good at business, they have money, and they know they got it. They're proud. But you meet someone else who's much more wealthy and much more, you know, old money. And then they're much more gentle and they deal with you very nicely. It's as if they're not rich. Well, the other guy is, you have to know he's a successful businessman. And the other one, he's just a nice person. Is that making sense?
Yes, thank you very much.
Yeah. So.
Very nice analysis.
Okay. So. The Advaitavadi said, okay, that was therefore to said, so in all cases, scripture can be used without anuman. without scripture, Anuman cannot be given regard. Right? So the modern what do you call it? What is it called? The academic method? Don't they call it?
Scientific method?
The one that the academics use, that they criticize everything and somehow or another that makes them intelligent. The name for that. And only they know how to do it, and so therefore that makes them superior to all living entities in the cosmos. I think it's called the academic method. Like that, you know. Somehow or another. You know, you have to analyze it without coming to any conclusion, so you have to purely use anima.
It's an inductive approach.
Yeah, like that. So, yeah. So here's that you can... Shastra is functional without that. One may say, oh, that's sentiment. No, you have to have faith in that, but Shastra itself is not sentiment. Shastra itself is authority. It's real. Right? Yes?
So basically what is said here is that theory is useless.
It's useless without Shastra. In other words, you start from Shastra, then you apply theory so that you can understand it. But to start with theory, you'll never get conclusion. You can't, because how can you know what's beyond the knowable? Right? The Lord's beyond the senses and intelligence. So that means we can't know Him, and without knowing Him, we can't know what the creation is. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, the Advaitavadis say, Yaneno padito pyarta kushaler anuma tribihi abhi yukta tarer anyer anyataivo papadyate. A meaning produced with great effort by a skillful logician can be refuted by another more skillful logicians. Vapurusharta. 1, 3, 4.
That's like Nimai Pandit when he was teaching Nyaya in another
thing. Yes, yes, yes. He would just do that just for fun.
Not other skillful logicians, the same
ones. He'd just defeat himself. And probably each time, all the other logicians are amazed how you could come up with that. And that must be the end of it, and then he'll come up with a new one. You know? So he can go on unlimitedly like that. You know?
Each time they're thinking, well, that's the
Siddhanta. Yes.
Advaitavadis is the Shankaracharya, isn't it?
Might be. I don't know what the Vapu Purusharta is, so the Vapu Purusharta.
But that's their theory.
No, but here it says Advaitavadis, and then it says Shankara says. So I think Advaitavadis means the Brahmavadis. Right? So the point is the Brahmavadis are also saying that you have to have Shastra. Mm-hmm. Like that. That just by logic, you come by logic, someone can defeat that. So just because logic was used doesn't mean that it's a conclusive argument. It still has to be supporting the Shastra. So in other words, let's say if one devotee mentions something from Shastra and another one proves it wrong, and he's a better logician than the first one, that doesn't mean that he's come to a conclusion and he's right. Right? Some reason. Yeah.
Well, what's notable is that's how Lord Chaitanya defeated the Mayavadis, with the explanation of the Admaram verse in 61 different ways.
Yes.
It was just using hardcore logic and
yes.
intellect in order.
Yeah. But it was based on the Shastra, on the Admarama.
Yeah.
So in other words, they'll have a particular view of Atmarama verse. They probably only have one view. Mm-hmm. So when he gave 64, then it's just beyond their capacity. So they're impressed through logic. It was used as the medium.
Yeah.
But he was giving conclusions.
Yeah.
So that was good. Yeah. Okay, Shankara says, the logicians from the past, present, and future cannot be gathered together at one time and place in the present so that we can produce the true meaning of the text. Since the Vedas are eternally the cause of producing knowledge, they produce a conclusive meaning for a particular topic. The knowledge generated is complete. If it cannot be destroyed by any logician of the past, It cannot be destroyed by any logician of the past, present, or future. Sharirika Bhashya 2.1.11. So he's trying to keep them on the path of Shastra, right? Because then if he keeps them on the path of Shastra, even though, generally speaking, it appears that he's taking them to an improper conclusion, at least they'll be based on Shastra, so that when the Vaishnavs come along and explain the Vaishnav Siddhanta, they'll accept because it's based on Shastra. Mm-hmm. Right? Well, if he didn't base it on Shastra, it was just logic, they would never accept. Mm-hmm. So that's the point. Is that he has to establish. So that means all the Vedic schools, that's why they're counted as Vedic schools, because they all accept the Shastra as the absolute, right? Because even in logic, you're trying to find out the absolute through logic, but as a medium, it's that Shastra has said it. That's why it's going. Does that make sense? It has to be based on Shastra. So that's why using modern things is all right if it is based in Shastra, right? But if it's not based in Shastra, it contradicts Shastra. What's the point? Because mental speculation, you can come up with unlimited ideas. And how many of them work? Because it's like this. If you find something that works, do you change it? No. So then scientists, philosophers, educators, they're constantly changing everything. Why? Because it doesn't work. If it worked, who would change it? You know what I'm saying? I don't, along with, what was that, telepathy? You know, back in the 50s, 60s, you know, that was going to be communicated. There was also the idea that you'd have food would just be one single pill. You'd take that and all your nutrition. Do you hear about that anymore? Does anybody talk about it anymore? Yeah. No. Yes. But is it? You just take that and that's it? No. Because no one. Huh?
It's an ideal.
That's an ideal. But the point is what's wrong with that ideal?
I need one more.
Yeah. It means, how do you take care of the senses? You know, just because you add water, then it doesn't mean that it's. So it doesn't work. So it's dropped, even though it was a big thing before. You know, is it, you know, telepathy, doors that opened, you know, electronically, you know, like, you know, sliding doors, and, you know, food is a pill. You know, that was like, you know, wasn't it?
The apex of human adventure.
Yes, the apex, you know.
Moon colony.
Yes. Yeah, moon colony. No one talks about the moon colony anymore.
Mars,
okay. Well, I mean, what is it? The Martians showed us how to grow vegetables there, so at least, you know, we have, there's a chance, right? No one did it on the moon yet, so.
All right. You said that there are six schools, they all accept it as absolute because they all accept Shastra.
Yes.
And we include Shankara.
Yes.
In what way he accepts Shastra? I mean,
he accepts that the authority is Shastra.
But the interpretation is
The interpretation is another thing, but the authority is Shastra.
So if he gives interpretation on the authority, that's okay.
That's what they're all doing. So that's why then one has to hear from Vyas, who's actually the compiler of the Veda. Mm-hmm. You know. So Shankara will take it that they're hearing from Vyas, but they'll just put their own twist on it. But you have to have the conclusions that Vyas said. That's why then Shankara does not go near the Bhagavatam. Mm-hmm. His foolish followers, some of them do, but he doesn't go near it because there it's so direct and obvious.
So they still follow Shabda Anumat protection?
Yes, sometimes they throw in a few more. I think there's a total of 10.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a total of 10. Gotama uses 4. Means all it is that there's 10 aspects. It's just a matter of whether you count them as separate or you include ones in the other.
Yeah.
That's all. So we use all 10, but we'll say all those 10 are included in 3. Right? So like Gotama will say all 10 are included in 4. Like that. I think that's dealt with in Tathasiddhanta.
Yeah, in many places. It's quoted in various Goswami literature.
Yeah. So it's just brought down to how the three do everything. So okay. The teachings seen in the scriptures, which sometimes use logic, are the glory of the scriptures, since that logic is the form of the scripture that has been used only to make the meaning easily understood. Right? You say the point, and it is the point. Logic is used just so that it makes it easier to understand. Right? You know, we'll a lot of times think the logic, that's the hard part. But actually, that's the part that makes it easy.
Well, this is one of the tough part of English, I believe.
And
there's a logical presentation
between the chapters. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't remember. Yeah.
How to understand the essence. Okay. Yeah. If one argues that the words of the Veda act as proof only if proved by logic, then that is only logic. So it means, in other words, they're correct whether you understand them or not. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, take an 8-year-old, hand him a, you know, textbook on quantum physics, and it doesn't make any sense to him. So does that mean it's not correct? So now if we say, unless he understands it, then the book itself is not correct, what philosophy are we discussing? We're discussing Buddhism. Mm-hmm. Because unless I understand it, it doesn't exist. Because, in other words, the material creation is come because of illusion. And so the jiva is creating that illusion. So if I don't understand it, it doesn't exist. Hmm? So then why do we even have the word mother-in-law? Right?
Leela.
Oh, Leela. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Such types of persons who think themselves followers of the Veda are excluded from understanding the Vedas. Right? Such followers means those who are logicians, and they think that unless I understand it, it can't be true. It says they are excluded from understanding the Vedas. It doesn't say they're excluded from being a follower of the Vedas. It means they won't understand it. Very important. Because some will say, oh no, but what does this mean? Why would Prabhupada say that? This? But if you think like that, you're excluded from understanding it. Only if you have faith, you can understand it. Because the Veda being beyond Apurusheya, it's only by Krishna's revelation you understand it. That's why it says the Rig Veda right there is saying that the Brahmins, oh, this is 10th mandala. So this is the end part of the Rig Veda. Then they're saying that these ritualistic Brahmins are carrying out their duties and all that, but they're in ignorance. They know the ritual, they know the skill. You can't say they're Brahmins, we'll accept them as Brahmins. But the actual purpose that the Veda is giving them, that they're in ignorance about. That's why we say then, someone who studied is more than, when you say the Vaishnava is the best. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, when we don't understand, and it's very difficult to accept something we don't understand, what is the right attitude for
that? It must be right. Because if the Shastra has said it, Prabhupada said it, the Shastra, the Acharyas, but I don't understand it, so then it's just a matter of praying to Krishna that we'll understand. And with time, then slowly, slowly it'll come. But it can't be, I don't understand, it can't be right. Because we're limited. That's the problem. You know, the Shastra is unlimited, we're limited. So only by coming in touch with the unlimited can we understand unlimited. By the grace of unlimited. Because right, we're 1/10,000 the tip of the hair. There's only so much volume of intelligence you can stuff into that. Right? And so then the point is, but because of being part and parcel, is that unlimited being in touch with, then we're in contact with unlimited. We can understand beyond. You understand? So that's all. Devotees can understand, but others can't. So at least there must be faith in the scripture. So the scripture is the Lord. Right? Sorry? Yeah, benefit of the doubt in time. You know, and there also has to be that desire to know. Because if you have the desire to know, then it will start to be revealed. If we don't, it just came up and there was an interest and then we drop that interest, then also we still won't know. you know, and then it comes up again, you know, so many years later and says, yeah, I've always had that question, you know, but, you know, you could have progressed. So one has to keep that interest. But that interest should be, I mean, that is directed towards the scriptures and Krishna, then that's good. The better it's because it will be of some value and service to Krishna rather than just it's something interesting. You know what I'm saying? You know, interesting's nice, but to be able to use interesting's better. Is that okay?
Yes. Can you say that Shastra understood through mercy of sadhus and gurus means that these schools are using them separately and that's why they get entangled in them?
Yeah, those who think logic is the way of understanding. See, because it's making the point here is that if you think logic is the only way you'll understand, it doesn't matter if you're a follower of the Veda or not, you won't understand the Absolute. Right? So it's already established that the only way you can know the Absolute is through the Scriptures. But the only way you can understand the Scriptures is you can use logic, but it's not the logic itself will reveal the Scriptures. Right? Because it's coming from, you know, janmadhyasya yataha. It's coming from the Lord. So what's coming from the Lord? Shastra. And so then for us, then everything else comes from Shastra. Shastra yonitva. Right? So our connection with the Supreme is coming through Shastra. Right? Yes. But as we mentioned before, unless there's a desire to know, right? If there's a Brahma Jigyasa, then why would there will be? We'll do that. So, yeah. That is the meaning given everywhere, not just here or there. He's just saying everyone will say that, because here he's done the various scriptures like that. He's how you say? Has said what the Brahmavadi said. He said what the Mayavadi said. Everybody supports that, no, scripture is the basis. Okay. That is this, what did we get that? Oh, their destination is that of jackals, means the logicians. That is described in Mahabharata, footnote 26. Jiva Goswami is referring to a passage where Jackal speaks to Kasyapa. He relates that in his previous life he was a logician who argued with followers of the Vedas. As a result, he became a jackal. Yeah. So.
Are there so many locally?
Yeah, yeah. Navadvip, right? You know, the seat of knowledge. Right? Yeah, all the. Yeah. Yes. Never thought about that one. Huh?
It's good. The howl at night.
Yeah, yeah. So actually, it's all the different. It means there's a group over this side. There's one Tarnpur side. There's one over that side, Gornagar. There's a fourth one. Sometimes it's can't remember which direction it is. You hear them occasionally. They're farther away.
On like different voices.
So yeah. So then. You know, the different schools of thought. So one comes up with their logic, the other ones then try to defeat. Yeah, like that. Use of logic is mentioned in statements like Shrotavyo Mantavya, Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad 2.4.5, where Mantavya refers to a logical thought process. But Kurma Puran explains this, right? In other words, the thought process is logical, not that logic itself is the basis. Right? Purva para virodhena ko nvarto bhimato bhave ityadhyam uhanam tarakas shushka tarkam cha varjayet. That logic is approved which produces a meaning not contrary to previous and latter parts of a scripture. One should avoid dry logic. Kurma Purana. Sarva Samvadini to Tattva Sandarva. 11. So this is quoted by Jiva Goswami. Okay. So in other words, if the whole point of the scripture in all the studies that's in the if we're using logic, logic means in the final, the fifth part, there must be sangati between what's previous and what's next. Mm-hmm. Right? And also I think that's an aspect of, I'm not sure that's not an aspect also of mimamsa. Is that there's not some aspect of that. I don't remember. The tatparyalingas? Because you have the panchanganyaya and tatparyalingas. Mm-hmm. Whether they both have it or should the panchanganyaya have it.
It's a feature. It's a critical feature of the mimamsa.
It's also in both.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's both.
They're the ones who like really pioneer
the sangha.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, because there's like so many points that they make.
Yeah.
Okay, so these different points that are made, that they have to, there must be a sangati. So it can't be that you've gotten something out of this one point. Oh, that's why they do it. Okay, coming up now. So you've taken a verse and then you've applied your logic on it and come to a conclusion that may work with that verse, but it doesn't work with anything else. Like that. So that's not considered correct. Now, why would that be an important part? Why would Jaimini come up with that point so strongly? Because Jaimini is one who applies his philosophy on all the verses of the Veda. So that means he has sangati, you know, in his conception. It's just not complete enough. In other words, it's completer than the other four schools, but not as complete as Vedanta. Right? Because it's in action and that it's full, but because there is a purpose in human life beyond karma, the nature of the soul. So in Uttara Mimamsa, that he doesn't cover. Right? Mm-hmm. So that's the how you say it? Difficulty that comes up there. So now, why would that be an important point? Because if there must be a consistency, that means using that point of consistency, you can defeat all the other four schools. Mm-hmm. Because they only select verses. That's the point. The first four schools select particular verses to base their philosophy on. They don't take any verse. Mm-hmm. Only Purva Mimamsa, Uttara Mimamsa can deal with any verse. Does that make sense? So then if you make this point, you know, strongly, that means it makes sense here, but what about there? Right? And so we'll use the same thing on dealing with karma, karma mimamsa and purva mimamsa. No, excuse me. No, that's the same. Karma mimamsa and uttara mimamsa. In that they're not bringing out the point of relationship with the Supreme Lord. Mm. It's inconsistent. Like the Mayavadis, there's verses that talks about he's two. There's ones that talk about he's one. So they'll only take the one ones and finesse the two ones.
Yeah.
Like that. So that point itself is a very important point in logic, because in logic you can take a particular thing, a particular situation, and make it work there, but whether you can make it work in a different situation, that's the test of the logic. You know, so people want to discuss things in their own way. Yes.
Shankara, he's really sneaky in his interpretation of Vedanta Sutra as well, in that he takes what Vyasadeva considers the Purva Paksha, and then he establishes the correct conclusion. But Shankara will reverse those and say the Purva Paksha is actually the point that he's trying to make, and that the conclusion he's making was actually the opposite view that's meant to be refuted.
Wow. And okay, so he'll just take it out of context.
Yeah. And he'll also juggle around like the grammatical breakdown, like the sandhi between the words. He'll shuffle
yes.
it around. And
yes.
Because it's quite clear the way Vyasadeva
presents it,
but it's a real stretch for him to make his case.
Yeah.
So
yes.
Really
so I heard he only does that with certain verses also.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to do that with all the verses of Vedanta Sutra.
Yeah.
So even there, he doesn't comment on all verses.
Yeah.
So that's why I see the Vaishnavacharyas comment on every verse of Vedanta Sutra.
Yeah.
They may put the most effort into the first ones.
Yeah.
But the they'll comment, well, he'll just do certain ones and then just say, like this, you know, I give me an example, like this, you carry on.
Yeah.
You know, even though it's not possible. Yeah. Yes.
What's Tatparyalinga?
We discussed that. Jaimini uses it. It's about how to understand what a shastra is about. what's the topic of a shastra? So the invocation, what's at the beginning of the book, the end of the book?
We get into that in the next. Bharata Vijayabhushan gives the verse which describes it.
Okay, so it's coming up. So as it is, you're always on the...
And Panchanga Nyaya would be just a different system of the same thing?
No, Panchanga Nyaya is how logic works. Tatpariya Linga is all the lingas, just seeing that by applying your logic into all these areas, you can understand what the subject matter of the book is. Like that. So they go together. They are naturally, mutually supportive. So that's the thing in all these different schools, because what they're giving is based on the Veda. Then their systems are valuable. It's just their conclusions are a problem.
Who's using that?
That's Jaimini.
Only or mainly?
No. It's just like, do all schools use logic? But who developed it? Gotama, right? But it's not that all of them don't use it, but his point is logic is the process by which you can become, understand everything. Well, the others will say there's something more needed. So logic is developed by him. No one else develops it. You know what I'm saying? They don't have to. It's already done. You know, just like the atomic theory doesn't have to be developed, or the Shankya theory doesn't have to be developed, or the yoga. Right? You don't have to develop, because it's already done. So he has the Tatpariya Linga. You don't have to develop that. It's because it's all taken from Shastra. You know, it's very nicely done. So they're all empowered to do this aspect. They're not empowered to come up with a bona fide conclusion.
Can we say, that Tatpariya Linga would be how we see the logic in the work or in the book?
No, how we see what is actually the subject matter of the book, the purpose of the book.
And then
you might be able to see how the logic's working, but I think the point is Panchanga Nyaya does that itself.
Okay, so Panchanga Nyaya would be just the logical presentation inside the book.
Yes, because the point is the book will be made up of you know, some particular point that you want to get to. Like here, what is it? Atato Brahma Jigyasa. So we know that that's about, because that's the opening of the book. Now if we look at probably the last sutra, then we'll see, you know, something that will be in the same supportive of it. Mm-hmm. You understand?
Don't that we see Panchanga Nyaya?
No, but that's presented. Now that you should inquire about the Supreme, now that is discussed according to Panchanga Nyaya. Mm-hmm. But that Atato Brahma Jigyasa is the purpose of the book, that's Tatpariya Linga. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So then they give special examples, repetition of something. Mm-hmm. That means it's more important. Like there's verses in Gita, the same point. Do your duties with knowledge, with detachment, you know, thinking of me, for me. Mm-hmm. Right? Either all of that or some portions of that in combination comes up many, many times in the Gita. So what does that mean? That means that's a very important point in the book. So that's what Tatpariya Linga does. It shows you, you know, something that's brought out and glorified.
So that's the context, and Panchanga Nyaya is the way of presentation.
Yes, it's the way of presenting, analyzing it like this. Mm-hmm. But what is the points that are important? That's Tatpariya Linga. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Yeah.
I was thinking, even when Prabhupada was debating with some Christian scholars about thou shalt not kill,
yes,
they would say, no, it actually means thou shalt not murder, it only applies to humans. And Prabhupada would counter, well, how is that consistent? Jesus said, one must love others as thy neighbor, do unto others as well. And so he would use their own kind of logic.
Yes.
Because it's not consistent with the overall scheme of the Jesus message.
Yeah, yeah, yes, 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 yes. Yeah, the Sangati. You're saying some Sangati, yes.
The hermeneutics.
The hermeneutics, yeah.
Sometimes the circle scholars make criticism of Srila Prabhupada's books, how he's bringing out points that they can't see in the Sanskrit. Yeah. But you can see with these Tatpariya Lingas, you can look at that as two possible things. One, he's giving repetition of what the actual meaning is, and another is that he's giving you uniqueness. Other people can't see this here. It's actually
there. Yeah, yeah. The point is that, how do you say, non-devotional scholars are many times too proud of their ability. And because of that, they can't understand. It's an interesting thing that Jarabharat's making the point that we were discussing about how the mind is the central feature of material consciousness. Right? So Maya controls us through the mind. So the three modes of nature and everything, because that controls the senses. And so then the mind uses the intelligence to get its work done. While then if we adjust and we work on the intelligence so it controls the mind, then we can be spiritual. But we were saying about the false ego or the ego, that's the key. Why is that? Then it's, the point is made that the false ego is the demarcation between material and spiritual. That's the point. That's you know, if it's has a material identity, then everything else will be material. And if it's a spiritual identity, then everything else will be spiritual. So that's the whole key, is that depending upon the consciousness, if you identify, I'm servant of Krishna, and analyze things therefore with the intelligence thereon, based on I'm servant. So as a servant, is this to be done, or would this be better, or like this? But on the material platform, because it's for sense gratification, then anything that would be in support of sense gratification would be valuable. Right, but for a devotee, because it's not sense gratification, it's about Krishna's pleasure, then it's debatable whether that same process would be of value. Mm-hmm. Right? If you're debating, okay, I'm cooking this preparation, what could bring out the flavor? It might be the same thought process as there, but one is I'm going to enjoy this, the other is I'm cooking for Krishna. But the process may be the same. But when we get into things that are, you know, the glories of the Western culture, then much of the time those things you wouldn't do as a devotee. They're not valuable. Because how is Krishna's pleasure part of that?
Absolutely.
Yes, so therefore that would be given up. So the key, the demarcation between the two is the ego.
Thank you.
Like that. So that defines... So when it says using the intelligence you should control the mind, so when we say control the mind, that means it has to be controlled with intelligence. But we can only use spiritual intelligence if the ego is identifying as a devotee. And we can only actually be situated as a devotee if we have the mercy of the devotees. You know, and faith in the devotees, in Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, and Krishna. We have that faith, then the whole process will work. That's why it says Shraddha is the first point. So then all these things can be revealed. But otherwise, if Shraddha is not there, it won't be revealed.
Thank you.
Okay.
If I understood correctly, it means that logic, according to ego, logic would be applying intelligence not as a tool or medium, but as a weapon of challenging the ultimate purpose of the Vedas.
Could, if you're using it in this case against the Veda, yes. Mm-hmm. So in other words, you have your point that you're trying to make yourself, right? In other words, if someone is fighting against the Veda, what is their purpose? They'll say, no, they want to know the truth. But point is the Veda is the only actual representative of actual truth, because actual truth is what's beyond. So therefore, if it's a matter of truth, but how do you define truth then? Truth means what I understand, how I view it. That's truth. And anybody else, oh, that's sentiment. Yeah. No, it's just like if I say Darwin's theory, I'll say, no, that's truth. But it's got to be sentiment that the actual mathematical possibility of that system actually working is so great it's impossible. You have to actually just be a sentimental fool to accept it. But somehow or another, you consider yourself a scientist, and therefore, no, I'm smart. While the common person saying there's God and He created it all, that's sentiment. Even though actually you have a 50% chance there. While the other one, I can't remember what it is, it's 10 to some ridiculous power that it could possibly work. Because all of these things, means all the dogs on the planet you put a fire hydrant, they will go up to it. You know what I'm saying? Fire hydrant?
No, the analogy.
All dogs on the planet are the same.
Yeah.
What's the possibility of that happening? Just that one dog is there and has gone from, you know, this, primordial soup into a microbe when the lightning bolt hit the ocean, and now it's turned into, you know, a Pekingese dog, you know, like that. What are those ones with the wrinkles?
Sharpei,
yeah, they're even more fun, right? You know, it's become a Sharpei, right, you know? Okay, so now we have that. Now, why is it there's more Sharpeis, and they all act the same? And then the fun part is all canines act the same. How is that possible?
They support this theory that one jiva is the source, so each one is like noise theory. You
know? Oh, I see. So if they're Mayavadis, then he says all illusions, so actually they don't all exist. There's just one Sharpei that exists and is creating all that. But then that means they've all created us also?
No, each has their...
Oh, so each of the 8,400,000 has one jiva, that's the... So then you should be very careful. You know, who is that one jiva? How do they pass it on? Or does he just reincarnate? You know? You could get into some pretty fun headspace here, couldn't you? Yeah, and I could, you know, just little music, a little, you know, mood lighting, and you know, you could have some serious fun. Okay. Above. Got to get the right intonation.
Yes.
So that means there's an above Jiva Goswami, a below Jiva, right above, a central Jiva Goswami. So, depending on which point he's making, then that's okay.
A multiplicity of forms.
Yes. Above, Jiva Goswami's argued that Shastra is the only means of ascertaining the absolute truth. Baladeva Vidyabhushana will now explain this. He begins by using the Vedic hermeneutical method, or Tatparyalingas. Okay, here we go. To assess the... Advaitavada claimed that the Jiva and the Lord are non-different. Adhikarana 3, scripture is the basis of knowledge. Right. So that was Jiva Goswami's then explanation how Shastra is the basis of knowledge. Now Baladeva will give his explanation. Shastra yon it vadi karanam. Oh, I see. That's the karanam, and then you'll have shastra yon it vad. Okay.
It's the same verse.
Sometimes the adhikaranas, they contain multiple sutras, so that's why the adhikarana is the overarching head.
Oh, okay. So in here it's okay. Got it. You understand? Adhikarana is the progression through the all five. What's that? Logical syllogisms?
Yeah.
That'd be the... Okay.
It makes it much easier.
It's definitely a mouthful. Makes it so much easier,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. Okay. So, following the Panchanganyaya, the five steps. Now, that is actually the point being made. That's the Adhikarana. So, this is the third Adhikarana, means scripture is the basis of knowledge. Now, in an Adhikarana, there may be minimum one sutra, or there may be many sutras. So that's why he's put the Adhikarana in the first, because it's the overarching point, right? And then so these first four, right? It's one Adhikarana, one sutra.
Yeah, mostly the first 12.
First 12.
Yeah.
Then after that,
yeah. I think after review.
Yes.
For the second Adhikarana, we had two sutras.
No, we only had one.
Vadi Yasya as well as Shastra Yon Itvat. Yeah, that's what
we said. There were two.
What was the question?
She was saying in the previous one, there were two. Yeah. No, because we've had a Tato Brahmajigyasa, Janmad Yasya Yataha,
yeah.
Then Shastra Yon Itvat.
The Adhikarana 2 is the origin of everything, which says Janmad Yasya Yataha.
Yeah.
One sutra we discussed, and the second one is Shastra Yon Itvat.
No, that's the third one.
That's the third. It says Adhikarana 3.
So two sutras in the second Adhikarana.
No, because the Tato Brahmajigyasa was its own Adhikarana.
It's its own Adhikarana.
Yes. Yeah, that was one adhikarana.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then...
That was the first one.
Yeah.
So,
because Jiva Goswami is discussing. Yes, but this is all on the third one.
Yeah.
We've been discussing the third adhikarana. Because Jiva Goswami has. No, no.
112 and 113. That is what it is showing
you
in the guide.
It's showing that in the study guide. Are you showing that in the study guide?
Page number
23. No, but here's Adhikarana 2.
Yeah.
The origin of everything. Yeah. Janmadyasyayataha.
Yes. So we have...
That's one.
That's one.
That's one. Yeah. Where's the next one?
Next is on 17. It's 27.
On 27. No, this is the next adhikarana.
It's not written on the
list. No, see, what's happened is because Jiva Goswami, in his Sandarbhas, is writing on these points, you know, about Vedanta Sutra, then the compiler of this study guide has included it in this. But because he put it first, because the adhikarana here, this part is the Brahma Sutra itself. This is Baladeva Vidyabhushan. So this is like an introduction to it, Jiva Goswami's.
That's why it says under the adhikarana, it's a sutra reference, 112. So sometimes it'll say only one verse, sometimes it'll have like three or four verses as the sutra reference.
Yes. This one is 113. But later than we might find there'll be many. And then the Bhagavatam reference is 10.16.44. Right? So he's put it here. What we will do in the future ones is we will put Jiva Goswami's after Baladev's. So then it will be understood as all part of the same adhikarana. It's just two different acharyas discussing that point. You understand? But we will use Jiva Goswami's as an introduction to the first one because we haven't gotten there, and so that we understand it, right?
Yeah.
Means in the first sutra, then Jiva Goswami's will go first. But from the second sutra, then we'll put Jiva Goswami's after. Then you won't get confused. Okay? Yeah. Okay. Okay, summary. Brahman is to be understood by the revelation of the Vedic scriptures. Right? So now is the Vedanta Sutra commentary. What we just finished was Jiva Goswami's discussion of that adhikarana. Right? Sutra reference 113. Verse reference Srimad Bhagavatam 10.16.44. Then these different things that are being given here before we get to the sutra, that is what?
This is kind of the preamble by Baladeva Vidyabhushan.
Okay, so he gives the preamble. So
yeah.
Then he gives this whole thing here, this point here, or we're putting that?
Which point?
The summary sutra reference.
No, that's not Baladeva Vidyabhushan.
Okay, but so starting with Upa Kramo.
Yeah, implicitly is him. But, yeah. Starting with the shloka. That's
then okay. Maybe what you can do is put the three asterisks here.
Yeah, I've done that for the next one. So
yeah. I was also saying you can mention to what's his name, Pandava Bandava,
yeah.
That also he gives that little summary of a section,
yes.
Like in one sentence or two.
Yeah.
He should put those asterisks there, and so that we always make that difference.
Okay.
Like that.
Sure.
Upa kramo pasam harav abhyasho purvata phalam arta vado papaticha lingam tatparya nir naye. In understanding the meaning of a particular passage, The means are upakrama, beginning, upasamhara, conclusion, abhyasa, repetition, apurvata, uniqueness, phalam, fruit, artavada, praise, and upapakti, proof. Brihad Samhita, quoted by Madhva in his Vedanta Sutra commentary, 1.1.47. So that is the Tatparya Lingas. Right? So, pointing in understanding the meaning of a particular passage. So, what is it about? Then the discussion of that and the presentation of that meaning, that's the Panchanga Nyaya. Right? So then it's very exact. Like when we say, ask someone they have a question, say the question in one sentence. That means then they understand what they're talking about because then they know what is their thesis. Right? Then, having made that, now they can give their reasons, the examples. But sometimes it's very common when someone's not quite clear, it's just a feeling that they'll talk, they'll give their examples and then give the reasons for that and more examples and this and that, and they sometimes don't even know what their thesis is. Just there's a feeling.
Give a lot of sangati.
Yeah, lots of connections. It's a feeling. It hasn't actually come to the point of, oh, that's why. It's a feeling. It hasn't come to nouns yet. Right? Because in the process of sound, then when it comes to the first stage, the nod, then that's just a, it's not even a, it's a, how you say, more like a felt concept.
Impression.
Yeah. Like that. So there's an impression. So that's the problem, because it's nod, so it's unlimited, so they can go on talking unlimitedly. But this explains it.
And you can't enunciate
it. Yeah.
The noun.
And you can't. So then it comes to the second. I'm not sure what happens, but the third chakra, is it? No, noun started the third or fourth? I think nouns are the fourth. Whatever. We'll just go through here. We won't worry about the chakra now. Then it comes to the next chakra up. Then the verbs. In other words, what it is that concept does. Right? And then from there it comes up to the next chakra, where then the nouns that actually accomplish it. Right, because the subject and the object are nouns. But by applying them through the verb, then you get a result, data, which is also data. The cause of that is a noun. Does that make sense? The place where it will be performed is a noun. Do you understand? So the idea is that I have the nouns, that's the field of activities. They're applied, and I get a result, which is going to be that point of, that's going to be experiential, it's going to create samskara. So actually, in the process of speaking, you start from the end and come back down. You understand? And so then when it gets up to the throat chakra, then you actually hear the words. But this has already started before in the concept. You understand? But this is what's going on for every word you say. That's why someone has a clear concept, clear like that, then you see their words are clear. And those that don't, it's less. And so in this case, it's just there's a feeling is there. What's been said has brought up, has triggered this feeling or this impression. And so I want to discuss about that, but it hasn't become solid yet. Does that make sense? So then we're waiting for it to manifest. Yes. The primordial soup is still cooking. That makes sense?
Right.
Yeah? Yes.
All those parts should be included in Tatparya Lingas, or they comprise Tatparya Lingas?
It's not that they comprise, you would be using, because...
All of them?
Here is that you're in meaning of a particular passage means there's a beginning, yes, there's a beginning and a conclusion, yes, it would be there. Your repetition, uniqueness, fruit, praise, proofs, those are all going to be in your in the middle section. Because your conclusion, your beginning and end are going to be the same. Right? And then you're going to give your reasons. Right? And then you're going to then describe it. And so in doing that, then you'll have all these other things can be used. That makes sense? Because you have the passage itself, but it fits into the bigger, the whole work. Like that. So this is generally how you say.
It just looks like Panchamrita.
Srila Jiva Goswami writes an extended passage where he applies these six to analyzing the real meaning of the Bhagavatam.
Yeah.
Mm. Brings out each one, the initial verse, the final verse, the repetition, the novelty. Yeah.
Because you may give an example that there's no repetition in. You understand? Or not any uniqueness or any fruit or, you know, it just logically works. So the point is these are elements by which you can understand. Does that make sense? Using these six methods, the conclusion is that the jiva and the Lord are different. Dvasuparna, sayuja, shakaya, samanam, vriksham, parishash, vajate, tayor, anya, pipalam, svad, atat, svad, yatat, we missed something here, anashnan, anyo, Bicha siti samane vrikshe purusho nigagno nishaya shochati muhyamana dushtam yada pashati anyam isham ashya mahi manam iti vita shoka. For instance, in Svetasupara Upanishad, dvasuparna, two birds, is the upakrama, the beginning. Anya isham, the Lord, is different, is the upasamhara, conclusion. Tayor anyo, nashnan anyo, nyam isham, the other person does not eat, is the abhyasa, repetition. Apurvata, uniqueness, is that without scripture, the difference between the Lord and Jiva could not be known. Vitashoka is the phalam, result. Means being without, without misery, free from lamentation. Asya mahimanam, he sees the Lord's greatness, is the artavada, praise. Anyo nasham, the other does not eat, is the upapati, proof. One can find other examples elsewhere. So they're all included in there, but it's not that how you say? It's a different view of it, because you're bringing out these aspects. You know, it's just like, okay, does the sari fit? Okay? You know? Do the clothes fit? Do they look nice? Do they match? It's all part of the same thing, but they're totally different perspectives. So therefore, one is the Panchanga Nyaya, the other is the Tatparya Linga. But the Tatparya Linga is fitting within Panchanga Nyaya. So Panchanga Nyaya is the method of description. But it has all these attributes. Does that make sense?
Yeah? There are seven or six.
Oh, sorry?
There are seven of them, these methods. There are seven, not six.
Seven.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven.
No, because he's given the...
Beginning and conclusion.
And conclusion.
Yeah, they're one thing. Okay? Because what it opens with, what it closes with. You know, it's just like Manu. It opens with the sages going to Brahma and asking about how to understand Varnashram in connection to the Lord. They know the rules and regulations of Varnashram. They're great sages. But how to understand it in connection with Vishnu so that it can be used as in devotional service. Right? Then the last verse then mentions, so having explained all this, then this is how a Brahmin should conduct his life. And if he does that, he'll be successful. Right? So what is in the beginning what's mentioned? Success is developing an understanding of Vishnu through devotional service, developing love for Vishnu. Right? So the conclusion is, so it's the same thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the beginning and end, that's one linga. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's the problem with Finnegan's Wake. Maybe not, because it ends with the beginning of the next one. In other words, if you read the last sentences at the end of Finnegan's Wake and then read the first ones of the next, they would go into each other.
What is Finnegan's
Wake? One of those strange books. You know Finnegan's Wake?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyone else knows Finnegan's Wake? No. Okay.
American curriculum.
Yeah, it's one of those. Guy had nothing better to do while he was, floating around probably on cocaine. And he happened to be a writer, so he could actually express what was going through his head.
Stream of consciousness?
Stream of consciousness. It just goes, whatever's coming out, and it just goes right back to the beginning. In other words, it's a continuous, unending waste of time. Yes.
Popular in the
60s. Hmm? Yeah, no, it was before. Nowadays, no one knows it. No one's heard of it. Purvapaksha. Okay, the doubt comes up. Right? Because we've established that, Shastra Yonitvat, that everything is coming from the Vedas. And then Tatparyalingas is establishing the meaning. And how you say? Our time has run out. So we'll find out tomorrow what the Purva Paksha has to say. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.